The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father, and all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, who summons us into community with you and with each other. Amen. Today, we are celebrating St. Luke, the evangelist, the gospel writer, the beloved physician, the one who focuses on stories of women and children, of the marginalized and the poor. And when we celebrate St. Luke, the lectionary offers two passages to be read together from the Gospel of Luke, including the first four verses of the first chapter and the last 10 verses of the last chapter stuck together. But with the decision to celebrate St. Luke's day with a rite of healing, I thought it would be appropriate to hear a healing story from Luke. And I went searching for a healing story that we do not usually hear as part of our Sunday lectionary selections, and alas, I found one. Just one, the story of this convulsing boy. And as I read this passage, I was curious why we do not hear this story nor its parallel version from Mark on any particular Sunday, and I couldn't help but wonder if it might have to do with the way Jesus responds in this passage. "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you?" Or as some translations say, "How much longer must I put up with you?" These words attributed to Jesus are harsh, I think. Jesus sounds frustrated, maybe even a little bit mean. Could this be why this doesn't show up in the Sunday lectionary to save us preachers from having to talk about a frustrated Jesus? Or, more seriously, to save us from sitting with these harsh and uncomfortable words of Jesus and ponder who they are meant for? After all, it's in our human nature to avoid talking about uncomfortable things. Things like feelings of loneliness, of lack of connection, of isolation, of mental illness, of addiction, of anxiety, of depression. But if you and I are honest with ourselves and each other, we might often find ourselves and those most near and dear with us to be broken and experiencing many of these. Some of you have noticed and told me that I often tell stories within my sermons, and so today I don't have a story to tell you, because I would guess you know these stories. They're your story, and they're my story. They are the stories of your and my children, our friends, our spouses, our colleagues, and they are uncomfortable to talk about, and they are deeply painful. Earlier this year, the U.S. Surgeon General put out an advisory, a public statement that called attention to an urgent public health issue, urging immediate awareness and action. This advisory was titled "Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation," calling attention to, and I quote, "the importance of social connection for individual health, as well as on community-wide metrics of health and well-being, and conversely, the significant consequences when social connection is lacking." The Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, describes loneliness as far more than a bad feeling. It harms both individual and societal health. It's associated with greater risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, stroke, depression, anxiety, and premature death. End quote. This advisory pointed to social connection as a fundamental human need and pointed to a decline in the number of close friendships people are experiencing, and that memberships in organizations that have been important pillars of community connection, such as churches, have also been declining significantly. Finally, this advisory reports groups of people who are at higher risk for loneliness and isolation as people with poor physical and mental health, people with disabilities, financial insecurity, those who live alone, single parents, younger populations, and older populations, ethnic and racial minority groups, LGBTQ+ individuals, rural residents, victims of domestic violence, and those who experience marginalization. The marginalized in Jesus' time was this boy we hear about in our passage from Luke's gospel, who was seized with abrupt and prolonged spasms that left him foaming at the mouth. We hear this boy's father was begging, imploring Jesus to literally put his eyes on his boy, his only child. Being his son and only child, this boy would have had societally held the responsibility to care for his father aged, as well as the rest of his family. These strong familial relationships were crucial for family survival, as they had no security system or retirement system, but complete reliance on the younger family members to care for the aging. This shrieking, convulsing boy would have represented the future of the whole family. And in his current state, there would be no future. And more than that, what was seen as possession by an unclean spirit further distanced his family from societal inclusion. We hear that this boy was being constantly mauled and completely crushed by his condition without relief. Any parent who's ever cared for a child or a loved one who has challenging behaviors or needs might well know that feeling of societal judgment or exclusion that occurs when these behaviors are public. And at the same time, the feeling of commitment to care for your child or loved one, the compassion toward them, and also the frustration at the condition that your loved one has, this feeling of helplessness to change the situation. The father in our story committed to his son, reliant on him for the family future, would have been himself marginalized, placed on the fringes of society with this family structure that was not the norm, not accepted. And we hear that this father originally took his son to the disciples to get rid of this unclean spirit, but they were not able to do it. And so the father goes directly to Jesus. And we hear these harsh words, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and put up with you?" Who is Jesus speaking these words to? Is he speaking them to the disciples who could not cast out the unclean spirit? Is he speaking them to the father or to the boy? Or is he speaking them to society because he's fed up with a community who excludes, who marginalizes, who others those who are different or afflicted? There are so many healing stories in Luke's gospel, and they are very much connected with the least of society, the marginalized, the lowest. And in these stories, Jesus' healing brings so much more than a quick fix to an ailment. Jesus' healing brings wholeness. Jesus' healing brings restoration back into the community. Jesus' healing brings an end to isolation, an end to loneliness, an end to a bleak future. Jesus' healing brings grace, forgiveness, and a future of hope. The good news revealed today in this scripture is that Jesus' frustration and exasperation did not cause him hesitation in commanding, "Bring your son here." And the son was brought, even while being convulsed, to Jesus, who healed him and restored him to his father, which restored them to society with a hopeful future, which is why all were astounded at God's greatness. And the verb tense used there is more active, ongoing astonishment, wonder, awe at the magnificence, at the glory of God found in the restoration of this entire family by Jesus. You and I will gather around this altar rail twice this morning. The first time is for a rite of healing, an anointing with oil and words that remind us of God's healing grace that seeps into all of those broken areas within us and makes us whole as beloved children of God. You and I, despite any ailment, despite any feelings of loneliness or brokenness, are loved by God just as we are. Then we will gather around this rail a second time as we hear the body of Christ given for you and the blood of Christ shed for you. And as we kneel or as we stand and hear those words and receive that bread and cup, we remember that we are part of this Christian community. We are not alone. You and I are present in this circle together, connected to each other as we eat and drink. And even more than that, we are connected with the communion of saints, both present and past, who have gathered in many times and spaces to do the same. And I know many of you who worship online with us, I want you to know you too are part of this community. You are not alone. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is for all of us, both individually and communally. And at the same time, I wonder, who is it that you and I know who is lonely, who is socially isolated, who is yearning for deep relationships, who might love to be invited into this community of faith? Can you think of someone in particular? I'm giving you time to think of someone. who might really be nourished by connection with our Christ the King community. It could be through a social opportunity like Blues, Brews, and the Good News, or Trunk or Treat, or through musical opportunities like our children and adult choir, through learning through Bible study in person or online, time to just sit in silence and contemplate during our contemplative service. It could be volunteering with us as we go to Free Wheels or to the food bank, or maybe to be part of one of our ecclesia small groups where we are building intentional relationship together. These types of connections were those pointed at as most important in the Surgeon General's advisory, as those that led to people living longer and healthier lives, as well as better outcomes for the whole community. We are supposed to be connected with each other because we need each other. Let us not be the faithless or perverse generation, but instead a spiritual home that seeks those who are lonely and isolated, those longing for connection and relationship, and who acts alongside God, who brings wholeness and restoration into all our community and lives. Amen.